Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said you will always remember a kind deed, particularly if it was yours. We welcome you to Bible Meditations, and we hope that as we study together, each of us will profit from being together at this time. All right, we return now to our study concerning what does the Bible say about the subject of sin. To summarize, the Bible says that all of us are guilty of sin because Satan placed temptation before us. Adam sinned, and you and I have temptation placed before us, and we become guilty when we sin. Don't take the mistaken idea that God has given to us sin when we were born through the sins of our parents. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says we commit sin when we do the wrong thing. What does the Bible say about our attitude, his attitude, toward sin? Well, God hates sin, and God is a purer eyes than to behold sin. Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 13. The death of Christ ought to tell us how terrible sin is and what God's attitude is in regard to sin. Jesus died for us. God commends his love to us in the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Also, the question concerning freedom of choice comes to mind. Do I have the choice to decide to obey God or to not obey God? There are some who teach that we were predestinated before our birth either to go to heaven or to be lost. Does the Bible teach that? And the answer is obviously no. The Bible teaches, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Revelation 22 and verse 17. Whosoever will simply means there's a choice to be made. Joshua said in Joshua 24 and verse 15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. You make the choice, and God has allowed that to be up to us. So in Matthew 7, when he says in verse 13, enter ye in, that makes sense, doesn't it? If I can enter in to the way that leads to life, then God has not made the choice for me. He's left it in my hands. Well, another question that comes to mind is, what does sin do for us? Think about sin and think about the consequence of committing sin, and what about that? What does the Bible say? Well, in Proverbs 13 and verse 15, the Bible says that the way of the transgressor is hard. You think about that. A person who's guilty of sin, he has a very difficult way. Look at people in your world today who have consciences that bother them constantly because of the sin that they commit. You have people who have problems physically because they've committed sin. And it's quite obvious that sin is showing itself in the deterioration of their body, and they therefore are paying the price for their sin. There are people whose homes have been broken because sin has entered in. A father and a mother have broken up, no longer a family situation, because sin has entered in. Children have been abused. Children have been neglected because sin has entered in. It's a hard way, isn't it? There are people in our world today, rather than enjoying life as God intended for it to be, are paying the terrible price in regard to sin. Some even show it on their face. You could look at a person who is wholesome and young and pure, and then follow the life of that person as they step into sin and begin living an ungodly life, and you can see the difference and the change that takes place because of the presence of sin in their lives. Friends, there isn't anything about sin to commend itself to us. Everything about sin says, you better leave it alone. You better turn away from it. Sin, therefore, is a terrible way. No wonder, then, the statement is made, the way of the transgressor is hard. Then also, in Proverbs 14 and verse 34, the wise man makes this observation, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is reproached to any people. Now that's not hard to understand. Nations are reproached because of the presence of sin. You look at our country today, look at the declining morals, and the fact that we're living in an age where people have put a stamp of approval on just about anything anybody wants to do. And somehow or other, we think we can go through life this way and God will continue to bless our nation, our people. Friends, when we're reproached by our sin, there's a price to be paid. There isn't any question about it. If people decide they're not going to listen to God, they're going to have to answer to the very God they have turned their back upon. So Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 tells us that the sins and the iniquities of the people separate between them and their God. The people of Israel were coming to Isaiah and they were saying to Isaiah, can't God hear us? Is he not able to deliver us? We're praying, but we're not getting an answer. Isaiah said, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is ear heavy that he will not hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. You see, the people were praying, but God had turned his back upon their prayers because of the sin that had separated them from God. Friends, it'll do that for us. We will be separated from our God. God will not listen to or answer our prayers. Sin is a terrible thing, isn't it? And so the Bible just simply tells us, turn away from it. Get away from sin. Remove sin from your lives. Well, that brings one final question that we need to think about, and that is, how do we obtain remission of past sins? There were people on the day of Pentecost who asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Do you know what they were told? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. It could not be plainer. God's way of redemption is very clear. Have you obeyed it? We appreciate this opportunity of study and remind you that it was Jesus who said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We now return you to our announcer.